Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting. It's now in session. We are meeting virtual through Microsoft Teams and in person at the Kiwanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room. Rules of conduct are changing, but basically all cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to including shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. That's all pretty commonplace stuff. Normally, we have special rules of conduct for in-person meetings in a public health threat environment. Fortunately for everyone, as of, I believe it was April 1st, we no longer have a public threat. So I think it's appropriate that we keep these as they are. If something else comes up, and in the way of a public threat, but the basic rules of conduct is what I just described.
And those were the original rules of conduct for the meetings.
Yes.
That had previously been adopted by the board.
Okay. We'll go
ahead. As far as I know.
We'll go ahead with the roll call. Kathy?
Here.
Cameron?
Here.
Ann?
Here.
Sean? Okay, he affirmed. And I'm the chair, and I'm certainly here.
Now is, who else is by website?
Sean.
Just Sean.
And newspaper guy? Tim? Not in?
No, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Did you don't see
else,
anyone else,
else call in for
on video? Teams.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's move on. Minutes of the March 14th business meeting, item 4. Were there any corrections or omissions? Ann?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the March 14th, 2023 business meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye and raise your right hands.
Aye.
Aye. Sean is in the affirmative. Motion carried unanimously. The financial report, item 5, accounts payable for March 15th and March 31st, 2023. Are there any questions?
Yes.
Cameron.
I've got quite a few, actually. First page, BMS Technologies, the billing statements. Why the difference between the $488.69 and the $464.44, a difference of 24?
It's two different billing statements, so the one that's $488.69, those two go together, and then the $464.44, those two go together, it's two different months.
So, separate. Is that going up? Or no?
We are charged based on how many statements we send out. So it varies every month because some people change back and forth from e-statements, or we have more past dues one month than another.
Or days in the month. Or that doesn't change.
That doesn't change.
Okay. All right. Cart services, gloves, $127.90. Those are safety gloves, I take it.
Call them safety. They're latex gloves, disposable.
So do we all categorize all that stuff under safety, separation of safety equipment?
Well, not all the time, but I don't want to, Rochelle can probably answer this better, but I think these are for disposable nitrile type of gloves. Yeah.
The leather ones we bought, we did, but these are just disposable ones that the guys wear while they're in the
hospital. I mean, is there, my thought is, do we have a line item for safety equipment, and would it,
yes.
So that would go under that, but you still separate it between water and sewer?
Yes.
That makes sense. All right, and then we got pressure washing.
Pressure washer. Robotic new pressure washer.
Oh, nice. $12.50, so it would have been $25.50 for late fee.
We have a dilemma with, we only pay bills twice a month, and the Postal Service has been slower than usual, so if our bill comes after we paid and it's due before the next run of checks, we incur a bill.
Any way to rectify that, or any kind of thought process maybe of that?
The only option is FedEx or US or UPS.
And then you're paying more money for postal.
Yeah. Postal is your best. I mean, just happens,
it's,
I guess.
Literally, it's just as fast.
Yeah, okay. The pressure washer. That was an expensive pressure. Or there was like a couple.
$1,000.
Who'd that go through?
I believe we bought it from Home Depot.
Right on. They deliver?
Well, I mean, it got delivered. I don't think it was from that office.
No charge. Okay, that was at card service. On the page 2, cash, $140 for coffee. How often are we getting coffee?
Maybe 2 to 3 weeks. We don't replenish our penny cash, but maybe once every couple of months.
So who all drinks coffee? I just think that bring your own.
Well, everybody drinks coffee.
Well, I think this was to replenish our petty cash.
Yes,
this wasn't what we spent on coffee. This was to replenish our petty cash.
No, it is a line item.
Oh, is it? Okay.
We pay for the coffee out of the petty cash.
Okay.
So $140 every, so you're looking at 6 times a year? I mean, that's over if it's more than that, that's like, 6 times a year is about $840. With how many employees that we got, does everybody drink coffee? And we don't have that many contractors or people that come in and ask for a cup of coffee. I just think it's kind of a waste of money. Most places.
These are for K-cups, right?
This is actual coffee.
It is actual
coffee.
Okay.
In a 5-pound bag or?
Yeah.
Well, if you compare that to having them go to Stimulus and buy coffee, it's cheap.
Well, I mean, as far as bringing your own, I mean, everybody brings their own. Most businesses don't supply coffee for...
Many businesses supply coffee.
Most businesses supply coffee for employees. That's a very common expense for most businesses and offices.
For $840 that people are, I can't pay their bill and stuff, I think it's, you know, and these guys make pretty good money to be able to afford their own coffee. You have coffee before you come to work. So, anyway. Coastway Construction, help with the water leak. That was the water leak over there on Viva.
The one by the boat ramp.
So how come we're needing help from Coastway? Don't we have the equipment to do this stuff?
Well, I think they were probably helping us with flagging on that day because
they helped us with flagging.
Because this was an emergency repair and we weren't able to secure Angel traffic control with such short notice. But Coastway agreed to help us with flagging on that particular job.
So we just use, now do we just use Angel, or isn't there a couple other flagging companies that
That's the only one that's regional.
Yeah, it's the only one I know that's local, that specializes in flagging. But they didn't help us with the actual repair. We just needed somebody to help us flag on that day.
Okay, so.
And it was an emergency water repair. Oh, we could not wait.
Yeah. You know, you kind of think over how many months water was going whoosh. And I walked by that, and I don't know how many times. Another one on page 3 of 6, Oregon Department of Justice. That's child support. Where does that show that it comes out of the employee? Because it's
on their check.
Yeah, it shows on their
check. I look at the payroll checks and how they're...
I get that, but where does it show where we see that that's coming out of their...
On their check.
No. Yeah. Where we see, as far as in the...
there is a payroll copy of each employee.
A few pages down, I
cannot discuss individual employees. That cannot happen.
I know when John and Tom look over the payroll every month, they see it coming out of their check and approve it. But I don't have a copy of it for you guys
Is there any way to have possible to see that, you know, I'd like to see, okay, yeah, it shows there that it's coming out, but where does it come on?
It's a personnel thing, and that's private, so there's really as few people that see it under the law as possible, so really is not supposed to be shared. John sees it because he signs the checks. I see it because I sign the checks. Rochelle sees them because these are all individual employees, and that's private stuff.
Well, it doesn't have to show somebody's name. It just have to show that it came out. I mean, it doesn't.
That's where it shows, right there, in the AP.
It comes out, but payable. It comes out of another employee. It's like we had insurance going out. Like Tony was paying his own insurance.
That's not the case now.
Yes, no, but still, it
come on,
wasn't
let's
shown.
Move on.
Even then, we didn't put his name specifically on there.
But
it was meant to be private, but he was the only employee that was doing that.
Okay. All right. Rosenberg's $130. There's no explanation on that.
I see that. I don't know that one off the top of my head. I will have to get back to you on that.
Okay. And then we've got United Parcels, several of them, shipping.
Yes.
What are we sending out?
Water samples, sewer samples. I believe we sent out a backflow gauge to be recalibrated.
We sent a water meter in to have tested.
We sent all kinds of stuff.
I just see shipping and it's like, well, what's going out? No clue. Down in the middle of the page, USD Forest Service, annual user fee, $771.
Yeah, that's, we have a special use permit with the Forest Service for the property that our original intake structures were located on. That has to be renewed, I believe it's every 5 years.
Is that for Horn Creek?
It's for the old diversions that are further upstream, but we still have to maintain those because if we don't, by law, we have to actually have them physically removed, including all the buried pipe. And so it's far easier for us just to maintain those sites and to maintain the special use permit.
How big of an area is that?
Oh, it's probably several acres. There's two sites up there.
Now, do we have to maintain that in any just way?
Why don't we move on? That's
okay. Harrington Industrial Plastics water inventory. We're buying water.
We buy PVC.
Oh, piping.
Fittings.
Okay. Kind of help if you had piping or fittings. And that one. All right, then on page 5 of 6, Oregon State Treasury, unclaimed property.
We had two people that sold their homes. They had credits on their account. We attempted to send them to be credit. They did not cash the check or they passed away. So you send it to Oregon State as unclaimed property. So technically, it wasn't our money.
Right, but you had to send it in to justify our books.
Yep.
Okay.
Legally, is there
Maintenance? Grounds and maintenance? Boy, that went up. Because we've got two. One that does the Horn Creek property, right?
Not one.
Okay, now is that part of this?
No, this is our landscaper. She's doing a much better job than the last one.
I agree. I do agree. But it does look nice.
And
it's pruned and cleaned up and swept up. And
I will tell you, this is less expensive than the last couple ones, too.
With the last company that we have?
The last two companies.
Okay. Yeah, tell her she's doing a great job. Oh, that's what I got.
Thank you. Anybody have any other comments about accounts payable? No, I have one comment. On the 15th, there's two entries for a total of $6,444 for Schwabe, Williamson, and Wyatt. Was all of that for the executive session?
No, the legal fees related to the executive session were about $5,800. And there was some additional fees for other miscellaneous legal support fees.
Okay. I mention this because that's a lot of money. And just to remind everyone, once again, be real careful what you say, especially revolving around employees. And anyway, we could have used that money for something else, but it's unfortunate we had that much money to spend. Anyway, that's all I have. No one has anything else on Ann, you want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the accounts payable for March 15th and March 31st of 2023.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Ann and a second by Kathy to approve the accounts payable. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raise your right hand.
Aye.
Okay, Sean's in an affirmative all also, so that is a unanimous motion carried. For our general ledger, are there any questions on item 5B, fiscal year 22-23? If none, we'll move on. Item 6 is the manager's report. John, what do you got for us?
Well, first I want to make sure Sean can hear me. I was muted when I was answering some of the AP questions. Can everybody that dial in hear me okay? Sean's shaking his head.
Okay, so either you guys are
going
to have to trade mics for us or
give me
the feedback.
Yeah, let me turn mine off.
Well, I just unmuted mine. I'm surprised you can't hear me.
Mine is now muted.
Can you hear me at all, Sean? Okay, but I think we're okay for now. All right, thank you, Tom. A couple of things to highlight on the manager's report. Wanted to just let everybody know that the office will be closed on Friday, April 21st. To facilitate mandatory employee training. This is CPR first aid training. It's one of the few trainings that we ask the office staff to participate into. So I think it's important training, and we'll need to close the office on that day to allow that. Our HR consultants we'll be conducting the employee interviews related to my annual review this week. They are going on. So, starting tomorrow. Just a heads up about that. Wanted to let everybody know that our water rights permit extension is just about ready to send in to the Oregon Water Resources Department. You know, this report is actually for March, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I did sign that today. So with any luck, we won't have any objections to our permit extension. It does have to go out for public comment. The Water Resources will put it out for public comment, I believe, for 30 days. And if we get no objections, I believe that they will grant our water rights permit extension. This is for the water that we can't currently claim beneficial use for. We're still pursuing the partial perfection of the water allowed in the permit that we can. So, but this is the extension for the rest of it. If this extension is approved, we will have until the year 2070 to fully develop the rest of those water rights.
2070.
Yes. Are we responsible for any broadcasting of these, or is that all done by them?
Once they have the application in hand, they handle the public notice.
and they monitor that and will let us know after 30 days if they received any public comments. So things are coming along with that. I mentioned I've decided to withhold the resolution we've been considering for the last couple months. After reviewing it and discussing it with some of the board members, I do believe that there are some policy flaws in the current version that we need to overcome. And I think it'll take a more substantial rewrite to overcome some of those concerns and some of those flaws, some of which were mentioned by board members. If you guys could give me another month, I will have that for you, and I think it'll be a much better document. So, just a heads up about that. We're doing the permits for the Rupel project. The permitting is one thing that is in our scope of work, not in Parametrics' scope of work, and consists of a county road construction permit, a county development permit, and as well as state Oregon Health Authority review and approval. And we've already got preliminary construction approval from the state of Oregon. Okay. So we're just waiting on the permit approvals from the county. I don't anticipate any problem. However, this work we're going to do on Rupel, almost all of it's going to be below grade. So there should not be any concern about man-made changes to elevations or to grade levels or anything like that, with the exception that we want to install 3 hydrants as part of this project. The county is checking with FEMA to see if there's any exception for hydrants. If we have to go through a no-rise analysis over hydrants, that would be very discouraging, but it is a possibility, and I'll keep the board...
not to mention ironic.
Yes, exactly, right. Working on security upgrades at the wastewater treatment plant, we have a couple of fencing contractors. One came today to give us bids on improving the perimeter security of the facility. That's an ongoing thing. And outside of that, I think that's all that all to mention this month, Tom.
Okay. I have a question before I lose my train of thought. The Rupel project, do we have to have a rider or any special insurance?
Thank you for that reminder. Tom had asked, inquired about that earlier, and it's a good question. We will, as part of the bid documents, we will be requiring liability insurance, proof of liability insurance for it's like general liability umbrella type of coverage. I had a discussion with our contact at Parametrics about this today, and there will not only be not only will we be indemnified by requiring the contractor to carry the insurance on this, I think we're going to be asking them for a performance bond too. Parametrics is comfortable that in our bid documents we are fully protected from any potential issues, and I'm confident we are, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
I got questions.
Sure.
On the security part, have you obtained or thought about some cameras and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
I know back in. Probably about 6 years ago, the one down in Nesquin got broke into, and they stole a lot of. And it was the security camera that caught them, and also it caught the same people that had broke into the fire department down there also.
Oh. Well, I can tell you that this will be
essentially a multi-pronged approach. We're going to be improving the perimeter security. We're going to be improving the lighting so that we have some good lighting from a security standpoint. And we are looking at not only installing some alarm systems in a couple of our outbuildings that we don't currently have, intrusion alarms, but we're also looking at the possibility of some security cameras that we will likely be installing a few of them, but they will be strategically located to give us the most benefit for the
You can't talk
least,
too much about the security.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah.
Especially at a public forum.
That's true. I'm
did
sorry.
They?
My speaker?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did they find anybody that tapped into the diesel or?
No.
Okay, was that all you had? Okay, let's move on to the unfinished business.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
On the manager's report, there were two items with regard to staffing, and I didn't know if it was intended that we would take those up and because there is board approval needed. Does that need to be on an agenda for a future meeting?
Yes. It does.
Okay, thank you.
I'd also like to mention in our latest small district Association of Oregon, there's a grant program. I don't know if you noticed that for interns, and they can't be used for maintenance or anything like that, but if you have a special, like an admin project or something you need to get done, it sounds like that needs to be taken care of in the next week or so if you have something in mind. I just noticed that.
Yeah, I think we could have some use for that. My concern about the intern program is they have to be between a freshman and a junior level in college. And, we can pursue something like that, but I think that limits the potential candidates. Might still be something worth approaching, but it also takes a matching contribution, I believe, on our part.
It'd be normal wages.
Yes.
An entry level deal,
yes.
And they pay basically half.
Yes. It's something that we can look at. I haven't considered it seriously just because I feel like administratively we're fairly top heavy as it is. But I will say that one of the things I do hope to come to the board is for some temporary employees over the summer to do painting, pressure washing, groundskeeping. I'd like to come to the board probably next month with detail about that.
Yeah, let's make an agenda item.
But I think that's really one of the areas that we're in real need for.
Is it possible? I mean, PUD has their program of apprentices program where I'm not sure if it's grant money that pays for that or something like that. If we could maybe look at something doing like that for...
It's possible.
So...
Okay, let's move on then. Item 7, unfinished business. We need to appoint a new budget committee member. We had, one application, Rochelle?
Yep, just one.
And...
she's very qualified.
So, Ann?
I would like to move that we appoint Karen Matthews to the budget committee based on her application. It's clear that she has extensive qualifications for the position.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second that.
Okay, Kathy seconds. Any discussion?
I think Karen is highly qualified and very interested in doing this.
Wonderful. Okay, if there's no further discussion, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of appointing Ms. Marshall? Ms. Matthews as a new budget committee member, signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I see Sean's raised his hand. We have a unanimous vote. All right.
Welcome, Ms. Matthews. Okay, next thing on the agenda is authority manager review form. I did, this is tedious, and there's been some discussion that we ought to really put it off and let the HR person do it, but we're working off our own form, and I put together a worksheet here. I suggest we just hash this out. I wish Sean was here in person, so we'll read it. We have approximately six competency goals, six or seven, about eight sections on this form. Here is Sean, I'll give you a physical copy next time I see you. Utilizing Nanette Cavello's suggestions, my suggestions, Kathy's suggestions, I used the original form, and we need to hash this out and finish it. We've been something we've been doing, wanting to do for quite some time. Nanette suggested that we have a separate competency goals for financial. And what I came up with...
Mr. Chair, can I ask a procedural question here?
Yes.
Your expectation for this discussion is to accept this document or to discuss this document in detail? I object to that if one of our board members who is in attendance at the meeting does not have this document in front of him. I think that would be incorrect procedure and process.
Sean, how do you feel about that? Can we hear Sean?
I don't know what you're looking at. I have the performance review, Tom, that you sent out. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I have a separate form. It's not a form. It's basically all the competencies that are in the form, and I added an additional one. Ann makes a good point that you can't see this, and I didn't send it out. So possibly we can table this until the next meeting.
Yes, I think we need to do that.
But just for your own, I will send you a copy of this, because I just finished it yesterday and I didn't email everybody. I thought it was best to discuss it. The one thing I added was a separate competency called financial. That was something that Nanette pointed out and Kathy pointed out as being something that's important. So I'll just read what I came up with here just to fill you in, and then I'll send you this copy tonight or tomorrow. And it's financial.
If we're not going to discuss it as an item on the agenda tonight, I don't see the reason to take the time to read it when we're going to distribute it to all five board members and have this same discussion next month.
Okay, make a good point. Is that all right with you, Sean?
Sure.
All righty. I will send this copy out. It's basically the same thing, but I added one competency.
And that was that?
Financial. Nanette Cavello.
Oh, okay. That was the only thing that she recommended?
No, she had several.
Oh, okay. So there's quite a few in there. Well, that's good.
You know, there's odds and ends. She actually recommended to delete one competency, and that's definitely something we wanted to discuss.
Because this is that, we did this, this with, oh God, what was his name?
The last authority, previous authority
right.
manager.
Right. Before we didn't have anything, we've gone quite a way, so anything's better.
Yeah,
so.
I'd just like to see this. It might be a work in progress, continuing. But we'll go ahead and table this discussion tonight. That's a good suggestion, Ann, because Sean wasn't here.
So if we got any add-ons to that, just go ahead and write it on, and we'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
So if you can email it to all the board members, we'll have time to think about it.
Sure. And it's right here in hard copy.
Yeah. Well, Sean hasn't had a chance to see it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm the only person.
But it's basically the same document that we had before. I just put together a worksheet so that everybody could add their own comments and discuss it.
Thanks.
So we'll go ahead and let that go and move on to the next item.
Thanks for your efforts.
Well, we need to get it done.
Yeah. Well, there was such a... I remember going through this, and we had a hard time going through all the excellent, average, satisfactory, need improvement. And it's like we came upon it that there wasn't enough to our satisfactory to hit all the spots. And I'm sure we're going to have some more to it.
Well, this is, we'll go ahead and figure those out. And I'll send you each, well, you have a hard copy business, but I'll send emails out to everybody so they can all see the individual. And we'll knock this out in the next couple of months. Okay, let's move on then to, item 8, new business. Customer appeal of policy decision. John, pick up here for me.
Yes, thank you, Tom. We had a customer reach out to us who's had a bit of an unusual circumstance. They had a development occur in the lot next door to them. My understanding is in the course of building that home that they actually damaged this person's water service line. And once the water service line was uncovered, it was realized that this person's service line was actually on the neighbor's property, the same one that had just recently built the new house. The situation became even more unusual in that apparently the neighbor will not allow this person onto their property to repair their service line. Of course, they're working through that. That's their business between them and their neighbor. However, they did request a couple of things of the authority. They requested a water leak adjustment credit. We do have a policy for doing that, but the way the policy is currently written, the leak has to be repaired within 30 days to be eligible for that credit. And because this person cannot access their water line, they are not able to repair it. I believe that the water service to this location was shut off shortly after the water leak was reported to us. And I think that was several months ago. Beginning of January that their service has been shut off because of this water leak on their service line. But they are, even though they have not had it repaired, apparently through no fault of their own, because they've tried several times to repair it, but the neighbor will not allow them access to do so, they are requested that water leak adjustment. I denied the request because the current policy does not allow any exceptions for this type of thing. When they were informed that their request had been denied, they respectfully asked to appeal it to the board. And I want to say there's actually two requests that they have made. They've not only requested this water leak adjustment, but they have also requested an indefinite lock-off, which is something we offer. But they want more than that. They'd like the indefinite lock-off to be retroactively applied to when their water service was discontinued because of the leak on their service line.
What's a lock-off?
A lock-off is that we essentially shut off their water services, which what we have. The difference is we put a lock on it, and
We charge the customer $200 and it stops their billing.
It stops
their
billing.
Until they decide to have it turned back on.
Yes. And then what's the fee for?
There is no fee to turn it back on. Okay. It's just $200 and that covers the off and on.
Yeah. Their concern is that, well, they voiced two concerns. One, they weren't aware that this was an option for them or that this was a policy that we had. But secondly, they wouldn't have pursued it initially anyway because they assumed this problem with their water service would be over in a few weeks, and now it's going on 4 months. Both of those requests were denied. The retroactive application of the indefinite lock-off as well as the water leak adjustment credit. And they had asked the board, asked to appeal their case to the board. I have provided an email from this customer that describes their situation. I provided a copy of the water leak adjustment credit where they went into more detail and described their situation. And I've also provided a copy of the ordinance, which is the one that we just rewrote and approved a few months ago, is the ordinance that applies in this case. And I don't have the authority to circumvent our written policies, but they wanted to appeal to the board, and that's why it's an agenda item tonight.
All right, thank you. I'm looking over the resolution, which is 23-01. As you mentioned, it's the first one that we did. We just rewrote it. And on item two, it says, this policy does not cover excess water usage due to several things, leaking toilets, et cetera, but specifically for construction. And so that's what the ordinance says. And, you know, normally we don't change anything about it. But I understand there's some other thoughts about that, so I would entertain any comments from the board.
So how much Kathy? Money are we talking about?
So the leak credit is $205.11, and retroactively the indefinite lockoff is $402.82, but then they would have to pay $200, so essentially the $202.82 that they would get back.
I missed that first number.
$205.11 for the leak.
And the other was 202?
202.82.
82. So $400 and change.
I would like also to mention that
Okay. Ann, do you have a comment?
What a terribly unfortunate situation for this family. And I think we probably would all agree that this is a very unusual, if not unique, situation. I do acknowledge, as you point out, Tom, that the word construction is in item two of our policy, but I think that the context of item two has to do with activities on the payers, that in other words, our account holder, which is the, in this case, person with the leak, but the construction was not their doing. It was not on their property. It wasn't their, in effect, it wasn't their toilet that was running. It wasn't their water hose that was left on. It wasn't their RV fillings or filling swimming pools. It wasn't their construction. It wasn't their any of those items that would allow for not to be covered by this policy. So I'm, my own feeling again is I'll just reiterate what a terrible situation this is, but we did just rewrite this resolution. These are our rules. We cannot, in my view, legally make arbitrary exceptions to them. And it pains me to say that, but I believe that to be true in a legal sense. Unless it's provided for in the resolution, which you've already pointed out, it is not provided for any exceptions to be made in this resolution.
Cameron, do you have a comment?
Well, you know, 30 years ago, there was a lot of stuff done here in Civic City, and I think we possibly might have a few other water lines on other people's properties. I don't think we have in, let's see, what is this one? Resolution 23 doesn't even touch that. So I feel we should make an except for them and give them the $200 credit.
So do I.
I just think it's the right thing to do. We don't have anything to cover this. It's nothing under policy.
Who would have thought? Any policy isn't going to be able to cover every single teeny tiny exception that might occur. And this is a pretty unusual exception. And it's not the Lefferts, is that how you say their name?
Lefferts.
It's not their fault. You know, they didn't do anything wrong. They're not being irresponsible.
They want to fix it.
They're trying to deal with this and take care of it the best that they can. And they can't even use their house now because they don't have water in it.
I would just point out, if I could, that this is not an operational policy. This is a resolution which has the effect of law. We are a municipal organization, government organization, and we cannot step outside the rules and laws that we set.
But the resolution doesn't forbid us from doing it. It doesn't say we can't do it.
It doesn't. If it doesn't allow for it, our resolutions and ordinances need to specifically allow for exceptions in order for exceptions to be made.
But we didn't
and
know about
it. It's still any exception. If a resolution allowed for an exception, it would be the exception language would be on the approval of the board or something to that effect. I would feel as though as a board responsible for legal operations of the authority that we could not do that without consulting our legal advisors, because I believe it would be a violation of this resolution that we passed.
All right. Sean, I read an email from you to John before the meeting here. I don't know if everybody else has yet, but I know you have some feelings and an opinion here. Go ahead and let us know what you think here. Speak up as best as you can.
Yeah, sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, two things. One, I concur with Ann in terms of offering relief. I'm certainly sympathetic to offering relief, but I don't believe that we can do it outside of the parameters of that resolution. We could potentially change the resolution to allow for it, but as it's currently written, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it opens up a whole can of worms if we start making exceptions where exceptions are not called out for. Having said that, my bigger concern is, why is this water meter in a right-of-way, not in front of the property of the person that the water is going to? In other words, what it sounds like to me is the water meter is in the right-of-way of the property of the neighbors as opposed to in the right-of-way of their house. I don't think that a homeowner or a resident or a property owner should have to get their water service through their neighbor's property. So my suggestion is, why don't we just move the meter 32 inches and then the homeowner can run a new service line without having to go onto their neighbor's property?
Okay. John, how difficult is that suggestion?
Well, moving the meter, I think itself is not difficult. I don't think we have to retap the water main or anything along those lines. I will say that the meter appears to be certainly legally installed, but it is the location of it is very close, if not actually just on side of the other the neighbor's property. The meter itself wouldn't be difficult to move, and the intention, I'm sure, of the property owners is to rerun a new water service line from the meter to the house anyway. I think that will happen. It has to happen. It's their only alternative to get water at this point. I think that it's not a big deal. I'm not sure the details about the water meter and where the service line might be moved is completely relevant to the decision the board's faced with tonight. But I do understand that we should have an obligation to install these meters so that they abut the property where the meter is going to. It's possible that this didn't happen in this case. This water service was established, I think, almost 30 years ago. So it's very difficult to know why or the reasoning behind where it was placed. But I do think that in this case, and Sean did bring up something that resonated with me, you know, people pay SDCs for these taps and these services, and I think we have an obligation to install them to where somebody wouldn't be misled into running a water service line from the water meter directly perpendicular to the road before they bring it into the house, and then eventually and then find out that it's actually on somebody else's property.
But it's not. It's on an easement.
Well,
it's in the public right.
It's in the public right of way. But I will say the meter box is installed. It appears to me the meter box is installed immediately on their neighbors across the property line.
That wouldn't be called an easement. That's a setback, I think, is what you mean.
Well, you sign up when you buy the property. You have to sign off as the easement to the PUD, the water, and whatever utilities. So basically, it's usage for water and sewer. But still, these people are asking for something that they weren't aware of. They just want to have water that they haven't had for 3 months. They've been paying their bill. I mean, they're up with their bill. This resolution doesn't even cover this. And I really think that we should give them the $200.
They're asking for $407.93.
Well, there's two issues. We're discussing the water credit adjustment issue right now.
That's
$205.11. I'd like to make a motion that we give them a credit for $205.11.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second.
Discussion.
It's time for discussion.
I truly believe that it is not legally allowable for us to make an exception to a resolution that does not provide language for exceptions to be made by decision of the board. And I strongly urge my fellow board members not to proceed with an approval of this application without advice of counsel.
I've heard Sean's comments, and I'll let him talk in a minute. I am truly sympathetic with his family's plight. It's our fault we put that water meter in the wrong place, probably.
Not necessarily. There could have been a lot separation. There could have been, that line could have been exactly in the right place when it was installed. Lot lines change, people partition properties, all kinds of things happen.
Yep.
That's not enough.
I understand that. So you're right, it's hard to say how that happens.
That's right.
However, I tend to agree with you that without further legal counsel on the specificity.
Is it?
You have it right.
I didn't get it right.
That is in the current ordinance. I don't think that we can give relief. However, Sean, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I would want to see legal counsel weigh in on this before. I would want to put on anything, but I personally don't see any capacity to allow for relief, given that it's not spelled out specifically in the resolution.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
So I would feel better if we contacted the attorney and the decision came from the attorney, because maybe I'm just being a coward, but that takes the onus off of us.
You know, we can't take the onus off of us. We are the deciding body for these.
Yes, I know that. Yes, I understand that. But I also think this is a small community where we live with people that are our friends and our neighbors. And I prefer to try and help people whenever it's possible. If we can't, and the attorney tells us that we can't, then I can live with that and do that.
Could we put it?
It would still take a vote of the board to agree
on. Yes, I understand that. But once we hear from the attorney, and then I feel better supporting a vote to not allow that.
Then could we put it in there that if in the solution of the $200 or whatever, that it be for it, that they're required to have the water line, their new water line put in. Because obviously the neighbor's not going to allow them on their property, and I understand that.
Okay, what we're arguing, not arguing, what we're considering right now is the specific motion and second that has been brought up. And that is to allow the $205.11 relief on the, as per resolution 23-01. So is there any other discussion from anyone? We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
We have one aye. All those opposed to the motion signify by saying nay and raise your hand.
Nay.
Nay. We have 4-1 vote. So at this point, the motion fails. This is an unfortunate situation for this family, but we really are backed up to the wall according to our legal, what Ann's point about our legal reference. Is there a consensus about the board to contact our attorneys about this specifically?
Yes.
Sean, how do you feel about that? Sean? Do you think we should contact our attorneys to get an opinion?
If you all want to, I won't object to it. I don't see, maybe they can find a way within that resolution to grant some relief. But I don't see any call out for an appeals process within that resolution. So as much as I'm sympathetic to the homeowner, I'm suspicious that we can even do anything. But if you all want to contact legal, I won't object.
Okay, then we have a consensus. All board members have nodded and said yes. So we'll go ahead and ask John to look at that and give these homeowners one more chance to an legal opinion. And
I'd just like to add to that I think that we should, as a board, consider this in a broader context, that this is not specifically about this particular case and this particular application for an exception. This is board activity on resolutions and ordinances that have been put into effect by the board. And so I think that's the context. When we asked John to talk to the lawyers, I don't think we should be asking the lawyers to review the specifics of where the water meter is and how it was damaged and what this. That's not the issue. The issue is more the effect of resolutions that we make if there is not specific language in allowing the board to allow exceptions.
Okay. Cameron?
I think that we need to re-look at resolution number 2301 and adjust it for this issue that has come before us. So we will have language in there to define everything that comes up. I think it's unfortunate, you know, the water meter put in the wrong place. How many people have gone by there? The water people, and I'm sure that they don't, you know, realize that, you know, it's on somebody else's property. And nor I don't think it's really their job, but they just put, you know, went in and that's where it was. That was water on. Could have been the property we owned. The other property that was sold was owned by the other. Who knows? But I think we've got other instances out there, and I think now, I think John might need to tell his employees, if you see something similar to this incident, bring it to your attention so this could be addressed if further future down the road. I think we need to readdress resolution 2301 because of this.
I tend to agree. This is unusual. I mean, who knows how, you know, what's out there. So maybe, John, if you and staff kind of look at this resolution again and see if we, what other possibilities exist.
I can do that. Can I assume that the logic that was applied to this would also be applied to the second appeal request?
We need to address the second one.
Okay.
And since it is an application, I think it's only fair to the customer to take the same process, have a vote on the second one.
Okay. Where am I?
That's the indefinite lock-off to be made retroactive. That's the second request.
Yeah, and they can have an indefinite lock-off. It's whether or not they can have it
if
active
they made it.
Of December or as of today. Are we going to allow it to go backwards and retro the money?
Allow it to be retroactive, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's an excellent discussion. Thank you all. Move on to the next item.
No, we need to make a decision on that retroactive lock-off thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have asked us to make the lock-off retroactive to the date that they became aware of it. Our current policy does not allow for that, so we would need to... So the question is, would we make the lock-off fee retroactive to...
December 31st,
yes or no?
Well, I haven't seen an exact policy. Is there a resolution that addresses this?
It's in our rates resolution every year. I can send you the document, though. I don't believe it is an actual resolution.
Well, yeah, their resolution.
There is a resolution.
Their resolution.
I was just looking, and I think the last one was last year, dated.
They get approved every budget cycle.
Right, every, yeah.
And I don't believe that allows for exceptions either.
Okay, I would, do you have any comments, Kathy? Sean, do you have any? Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I was trying to get back. My understanding what you all are saying that the authority for the lock-off fee essentially resides in the rates, fees, and collection policies that we have part of the budget process?
I believe so.
Yes.
There's more to it, but I have to look into it.
It's one of three resolutions that we pass at the budget at the end of the budget process, and it lays out all the detailed fees, and it's part of that resolution.
I couldn't find one for 22-23, but I did find a resolution that set our rates for 21-22.
We've got one for 22-23.
Yeah, I mean, unless I'm misunderstanding, I mean, I'm looking at the rates, fees, and collection policies in 2022-2023. Effective July 1st, 2022, the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority rates, fees, and collection policies. And I don't see anything in here that says we couldn't decide to make it retroactive. I mean, it very much spells out what the fee is, but I don't see anything that says that we could or could not do that.
I'm going to try to get back to the 22-23 budget resolutions and see if it's...
If there's more.
Because I think it's in there.
It's what she just provided me. It says indefinite water sewer lock-off fee $200. And property owner must submit written notice 30 days in advance. Lock-off fee and all outstanding account balances must be paid in full prior to meter lock-off and billing cessation.
And what I'm going to find here, I hope.
And this was the fiscal year 22-23. I'm reading another, but I didn't get it.
Resolution, I think it's 2203. I'm going to scroll down to it. Give me just a second. Resolution 2202 is in the matter of adopting user fee rate, system development charges, and miscellaneous fees effective July 1st, 2022. Give me a second. Because this is the document, and it does say item 4A, indefinite water sewer lock-off fee requested by property owner must submit 30 days written notice payable in advance plus any outstanding balance. That is in resolution. That is the source material for this handout that we have that is more commonly used, because we don't usually pass out resolutions with all the legal language on them, but the resolution is what determines the basis for what we publish for fees. So it's basically the same kind of issue. The resolution does not provide for any exceptions to be made.
All right, the point's been made that the resolution that set our fees does not allow this because it did not mention it. But Sean's point is that it didn't say we couldn't. So once again, we have almost the same situation. Sean, do you have a comment?
Yeah, so, I mean, what it does say, though, is that a homeowner would need to provide 30 days advance notice. So had they done that on, you know, January 1st or January 10th or January 15th, we could have shut that off, you know, February 1st, February 10th, February 15th. But we're not getting that until just recently, which would mean it would be 30 days from whenever we got that before we could lock it off. I mean, that's what the policy that Ann just read says to me.
All right, then I don't see an exception. Do we need a motion on this? Or
I think it should be treated the same way the other one was.
All right. I will entertain a motion if there's no further discussion.
I I will move that we not grant the requested exception to the lock-off fee timing. Wait, is that?
Yes.
To the timing of the imposition of the lock-off fee.
Okay. We have a second to that. I don't see anyone seconding. I'm not sure I can. I believe that I can.
Of course you can.
Okay, I will second that motion. So we have a motion and a second to not allow the lock-off fee as an exception to our current rule for any kind of special timing. What did they call it? Retroactive timing. So all those in favor signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay and raise your hand.
Nay.
We have one nay and four ayes. The resolution passes. Okay. We'll move on. John, would you be
Then once again, then on that also, that we look at the resolution and change it to where it needs to be for an instance like with the...
That should be addressed in our next budget cycle.
Yep.
And we'll do that. And John is going to also ask our legal opinion as where we stand if we did the right thing here. And so we'll move on. All right. The next thing on item 8B on the agenda is Horn Creek Stream Flow Gauging Station. But before we go on to that, John, would you be so kind to notify the homeowners and let them know what we decided and how our discussion went?
Of course.
Of course.
Okay, so John, would you fill us in on the Horn Creek Stream Flow Gauging Station?
Yes. You may recall in a previous manager's report, I talked about the need for an accurate stream flow gauging station at Horn Creek that would give us the ability to take daily real-time stream flow measurements from Horn Creek, which is our primary water source. And this is something that is required of us in our water use permit, and it's something that that appears to have been done to some limited extent early on after Horn Creek was constructed, the new treatment facility and the new intake structure. But since then, the staff gauge has fallen into disrepair. There is not the needed additional infrastructure in order to do this, take these measurements reliably and accurately. And it is routine measurements, stream flow measurements, is a requirement of our water use permit, which is something we want to be sure we're in compliance with. It's been a while since I brought this up as being on our radar screen, and it's because the cost for the installing the necessary equipment for the stream flow gauging station is high enough. Well, that and there will be a calibration period where these experts will come on site routinely during the first year to take measurements, with the intent being to calibrate the system so that regardless of how high or how low or how fast the stream's flowing, we will be able to use these calibration curves and this equipment to accurately get these daily stream flow measurements. The This project was delayed for several months because the cost dictates that we need three quotes or three estimates for this work from three different vendors. And despite my best efforts, I have not been able to do that because this work is so highly specialized that I'm not able to find comparables to provide for to meet this three quote requirement for purchases that approach this kind of dollar amount. I'm bringing it to the board now because I do not think I will find any comparables. I've tried, I have not been able to, and my intention is to pursue this as a sole source.
Where is this company located?
This company is actually, I believe, located out of Bend. I think they're located out of Bend. They are the same company that is assisting us with our. They are our consultants for the water use permit extension I mentioned earlier. They set up these stream gauging stations for the USGS and other people, and they are the right people for the job. They know what they're doing, and they will set this up for us correctly. And so I'm coming to the board tonight with the explanation as why there's only one quote here. And I would ask the board to approve this purchase. The quote for not only installing the equipment, but for the first year's monitoring to develop the calibration curves for us is $29,205. I would ask the board to approve that purchase tonight.
Okay. Do you have any questions about this, Kathy, or any other board member? Start with Cameron.
Now, we like I talked to you on the phone, we did have a water, something equivalent to a water flow when we were doing, was it the same company?
It wasn't the same company.
And does that other company do this kind of thing?
Well, the other company that had initially set up this up for us was Parametrics, and it was done in relation to mostly in relation to our wetlands mitigation and some of our efforts there. It's not the same thing. It wouldn't have served the same purpose. It was a rudimentary stream flow measurement system. But it would not have sufficed to meet the requirement of our permit.
So where would this go in the building, or where as far as upstream, or where as far as Horn Creek is concerned, is it on the other side of the building or on the upside?
Well, the permit says that it's supposed to be downstream of the diversion. We've determined there aren't any good methods downstream, so
they're going to install it just above our water intake.
That's correct.
So is that downstream from
that's actually upstream, but we can meet the intent by also installing an influent flow meter to Horn Creek, which is something that we don't have, and an influent flow meter.
Okay.
That's the water coming into the plant from the creek.
Okay.
If we have that flow meter, which is part of this job, that what we will do is we'll be able to deduct the water through the flow meter and still meet our requirements to monitor what's happening immediately downstream of the diversion.
Now, would you have to have something on the other side? I mean, as far as before the plant and then after the plant?
Nope. What we need is we need an ultrasonic level indicator that will monitor the depth and gauges that will, because the deeper the water goes, the wider the stream becomes.
Right.
And this equipment will help compensate and help us to calculate that despite all these variances that are possible in the stream flow.
Okay, and you had a question or a comment?
I did. It it probably surprises all of us that we only received one bid. My concern, and I'm fully prepared to go ahead with this, my concern is, do we have extensive documentation of efforts to secure more than one bid?
You know, a lot of these were me Googling things to no avail. I did reach out to a couple of engineering firms, including Parametrics, who didn't think that they were necessarily a good fit for this. They could probably do it, but it's not their specialty. This is a company that specializes in this, and that's why I firmly believe we need to go this direction. If you claim something as sole source, what kind of documentation do you need to prove that, I guess, would be one of my questions.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer to that either.
Especially if it's kind of a specialty type of business.
You did industry research.
I reached out to our engineering firm. I went online. I even talked to this company who was willing to help me find competitors, because this job had been stalled for 5 months, and we haven't been able to come up with anybody. So okay. Other than just documenting somehow my efforts online, looking for Googling, you know, stream flow monitoring, I got a lot of hits from the USGS, but they don't do this work for profit for people. So your question is a very good one, Ann. I've struck out everywhere I've gone, and
in some
it's difficult for me to document that.
When we go out for bids, we're required to post for bids in the Journal of Commerce or I can't remember the names of the documents.
If we think it's going to exceed a certain amount, this is so low.
That's kind of where I was going. Is there a difference in amount there?
I think
your
number is 25,000.
And it's over your limit for deciding by yourself.
That's right.
But it's not as big as to kick into action those required public notices. So that answers everything I need to know right there. Thank you.
Yes.
So do we need to make a motion?
Yeah.
Well, we probably do, but I have a couple of questions, but I'll defer to Sean if you have a couple of questions or comments. Sorry.
He doesn't have any questions.
You don't have any questions, John? Okay, I have a couple. This is going to be a one-year study. As I was reading the contract and the deliverables, and after that period of time, once they to determine the curve, that will give us a certification with our water permit. Can we do this work and take these measurements ourselves after that period of time?
Yes, that's the intent, is so that we can easily and quickly utilize the equipment and the monitoring data, the historical for the past year, to be able to determine the accurate flow, our stream flow rates through Horn Creek. And my understanding is this won't have to be repeated.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of the on-site calibration work and so forth.
Okay. The other question I had as I was looking through this is the labor cost. They have two tasks. One's actually installation of the monitoring equipment, and the second, most expensive, is doing the monitoring and using our other data to that we provide them to come up with this curve and ratio or whatever terms that are necessary for our permit. And they did note that their cost for labor, the hourly rate was
anywhere from $80 an hour to $245 an hour. And they just gave us a flat labor hours total, 19 for task one and 84 hours for task two. I'd like to see a breakdown of those labor hours as to who's doing what.
And my understanding is what this will involve is travel to Pacific City, the technician's time on site. They need two technicians in order to effectively do this. That was one of my questions for them because they had allotted time for two people to be on site during the 1 year monitoring, stream flow monitoring period instead of one. I question that, and they need two people on site to effectively do this. I can get additional breakdowns for you. In order to do that, we'll have to table this until next month.
Is that wrong?
And I think it's unrealistic in this kind of situation to expect an hour-by-hour accounting of the labor cost in here.
Parametrics does it on theirs.
They have given us a fee schedule for different labor categories, but the difference, the potential difference that it could make in that one specific piece, to me doesn't justify holding up the entire project. I think that what I would at least be prepared to do is to take. To assume that they have done that analysis, and while we don't have the breakdown of exactly what that fee comes from, I think they've given us a contract, and in their professional opinion, this is what it would be.
Well, you wouldn't think it'd be that hard because they had to derive of that number somehow, that 84. How did they come to that amount?
Well, I got an understanding having two techs or whatever.
I don't think it's going to change.
But staff is 95 to 125. Consulting, GIS, database, editor, documents, administration.
And
yeah.
A lot of these things are difficult to break down. And so if it took $54.33 off, are we going to not do it? I mean...
No, well, I agree with that, but I'd like to know what the breakdown is.
Can we go ahead with a decision on this and request that separately?
I would entertain a motion.
Well, I've got a question about the back two pages. I don't understand those. Why the difference in the two on these two back pages?
Those are the SDCs. That's a different.
Yeah, that's a different, a completely different
agenda
issue.
Item.
It's not the same thing.
Yes, yeah, not the same.
So I move that we accept the proposal from GSI Water Solutions for a total of $29,205 for work at the stream flow monitoring station installation at Horn Creek.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Kathy and a second by Ann to accept GSI Solutions, Water Solutions Incorporated for the monitoring and installation of stream flow instruments at Horn Creek. So is there any further discussion?
I'd like to see that, you know, that that they do answer that question about, you know, how they came to that fee schedule up there.
Well, I'd like to see it too. Ann makes a point about the timing here, and we also have a motion, a specific motion, and second on the floor. So,
but it's kind of hard to, we only have one bid, and how do you adjust looking at one bid, two, three, to look at that cost? I mean, I get it. It's kind of a hard, sticky thing. So
you can incorporate that into your decision if how you vote
in there.
All right. Sean, do you have any further comments? Is that a no?
That looks like a no. He's shaking his head no.
Okay, I turned your volume on. Go ahead. One more time.
No.
Thank you.
No.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion to accept GSI's fee schedule or GSI's proposal to replace our stream flow and at Horn Creek station at Horn Creek. Can't find the front page here. For $29,205. All those in favor, signify by stating aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sean remotely says aye. So this is a unanimous vote. The motion carried. Okay, next item on the agenda under new business is the design firm discussion and decision. John, is this related to engineering on bridges, or what are we doing?
Well, I think this is related to who we decide to have as our primary design firm. And, you know, we need to make a decision about what we want to do going forward with that. I know that there's been some discussion about wanting to change design firms. I would just say that we've got at least a 20-year, if not a 25-plus-year relationship with Parametrics. To my knowledge, they have served us well overall. We're talking about some major projects in that assertion, including Horn Creek, including the wastewater treatment plant, including airport lift station, Hanna lift station. And I know that there's some frustration with our current design firm in regard to the water and wastewater master plan, frustrations that I share. My concern about changing design firms, well, I've got a couple concerns. I think it will take a long time and we will pay a dear price to educate a new design firm about our system. I think that we will probably pay the highest price for that decision if we decide to go with another design firm. I will say that if we do decide to go with a different design firm, well, now we do have to start getting three bids or three quotes when we hire consulting services, because we can no longer claim familiarity, we can no longer claim long-term business relationships to make our decisions sole source, as we have for quite a few years with consulting services. I think that will greatly slow down the process. And there's a lot of design firms out there, and some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And I think that the likelihood that we'll find somebody overall is responsive, with a record of strong performance on our behalf, I think it'll be difficult to find. And I would venture to guess that if we did decide on a different design firm, not necessarily on a per job basis, but for the entire duration of the relationship, there's no guarantee that they won't be even higher price than the one we have. So I just wanted to preface this conversation by giving you my spin on it. I've got an engineering background. I've worked for design firms 13 years before I came to work here. I worked for one of the largest design firms in the world. And I can tell you that my experience with Parametrics, despite our frustrations about the master plans, has been strong. They've been responsive. They've produced quality work. And the reason I want to bring this up at this board meeting is because we have other projects on the horizon that will require engineering. And, you know, if we're going to change design firms, I want to do it now begin that process. If we decide we don't want to change design firms, then there's nothing holding me back from moving full speed ahead on some of these other needed infrastructure improvement projects that we face. But that's just, you know, that's my pitch. That's my opinion. This is a board decision in my view, and I'll respect whatever the board wants to do about this. And I would quit talking there and leave it up to the board to chime in.
Kathy, do you have a comment?
Well, I'm not really familiar with all the history with this company, but if you have projects coming up in the future, do they have to go out to bid again?
I don't think the consulting part of it does. We didn't put Rupel out to bid.
Okay.
That was because they were our major consulting firm.
We had already started with it.
Yeah.
Part of the project.
Well, why couldn't we have more than one design firm instead of strictly a one, you know, one on?
We could. I think that some of my comments would still apply toward bringing that additional firm up to speed. And what you're talking about is we would need, every time we have an engineering need that exceeds a certain dollar amount, we would need to put that out. We would need three bids or three quotes on it.
Because this is like a designated preferred provider kind of, and we are legally allowed to do that, to designate. I can't remember the exact, what's the language? It's preferred providers like medical insurance.
Well, the term escapes me too, but it's kind of like Schwabi on the legal side.
Right.
Every time we need legal advice, we don't have to go out and get quotes or bids and go.
Professional services.
It's a professional services. We have relationships with these people. They know us, and because they know us, they're almost always the right choice for the job.
Sean, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to John's point for sure. Have not been super thrilled with our engineer of record, but I'm sensitive to John's point. I guess my comment would be, I think somebody else brought it up in the past, but is there a way to put in some incentives and disincentives with our interactions with Parametrics, financial penalties if they don't get things to us by a certain time, that sort of thing?
I think the answer to that question is yes. We can require that as part of a professional services agreement with this engineer. It's not that uncommon. And what it does is it incentivizes design firms to meet deadlines and so forth, and penalizes them if they don't. And that's a legitimate way to set these contracts up, and that might be something that we can do going forward, so that we feel like we've got holding them accountable.
Gives us a little bit more control.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can definitely require that in our contracts.
Cameron.
Well, I'd like to switch it up if we do have some other projects coming up that I'd like to see maybe go out there, try somebody out, see what they've got to offer as far as something else. And I do agree. I think we need to hold these guys accountable because they have just royally muffed things up. I drugged their feet. I think they've taken us for granted for the 25-plus years, and I think we need to hold them accountable. But I would like to see the future that we try for some other project to get a feeler out. I mean, how do you feel about that as far as...
Well, my personal opinion is, and one of the reasons I'm picking now to bring this up, is because the next project that I want to embark on that will require engineering is our wastewater pipeline replacements across the bridges in town. We want to upgrade these, not only just replace them, but upgrade them with flexible joints and everything to...
That for seismic...
For seismic upgrades. And that's going to take engineering, but since it's not a system-wide thing like a master plan, it's a very narrow scope. It's just a pipeline over a bridge. If we did want to try somebody new, now would be the time to get their feet wet.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to bring this up right now.
All right. I'll give you my comments here. I see your point about familiarity, and yes, I am sensitive to everybody's comments about how they've left us hanging more than once. So I feel a consensus with everyone here to move forward with your projects that you have planned or for the immediate future, that we retain Parametrics, but I think it's the consensus is that we put some serious constraints or restraints into our contracts and not to accept carte blanche what they give us. Is Sean, do you have an additional comment?
Additional comment. Additional comment. Additional.
I'm muting myself.
I have comments when you're finished.
Try it again. I
don't have any additional comments.
Thank you. Okay. Ann?
I think this has been a good discussion. I think we kind of had some of these feelings roiling around in other conversations that we've had on the subject, but now that we're at the point, and I think it's very clear why we're at this point, we've got some big things coming down the pike. I personally am inclined to support John's position, and I acknowledge that there have been some ups and downs in the last few years, but I want to remind everybody that in the last 5 years at PCJ, WSA, we have had some staff turnover. We've had various levels of leadership in this particular and communication with the engineering firm. I think some of the issues that have been disappointments to us have been a shared responsibility. I think now we have stable leadership. Can I say that, stable?
Our
leadership is in place. and our current leadership has a particularly strong depth of experience working with engineering firms. I think we've lacked the supervision of the engineering firm from the experience position that John provides for us. So I really don't think that we're going to experience those kinds of problems with Parametrics again, because we've got somebody in the leadership position that's going to work with them much more effectively than we ever have before. So I think it's, as the board, we're charged to take the long view. And so in my mind, thinking about this, I'm not persuaded by a handful of procedural and not professional, but procedural hiccups that have happened over time. And I do also believe that since John has been here, that we have not had those problems. The problems we had maybe while he's been here have been problems that the origin of which was 6 months to a year or more prior to John's arrival. He was dealt that hand cards and had to work through it. But in what John, in the work that John has done with parametrics, I don't think we have seen those problems, and I don't think we're going to. And I don't feel like I have any kind of professional experience in engineering firms. And I support taking John's recommendation and staying with parametrics.
Okay.
So we can move forward.
So I don't see any need for a motion. I think we have a consensus that further contractual work with parametrics, that we have incentives as well as penalties for work done. Okay, so we can move forward.
We did say on the agenda the discussion and decision. So.
Oh, well, I said decision. I guess that's, maybe that was too strong a word. I should have said consensus probably, but.
And I think we have that. I don't think we need a motion.
Okay.
All right, then let's move on. System development charge methodology and schedule adoption. Our master plans, both water and sewer, was done by a subcontractor to parametrics, and they were late in getting those things done. That was one of the things that we're just griping about. But nonetheless, those recommendations were not adopted. And I did a little research with our system development charges for both water and sewer, and unfortunately I used the 2021-22 rate fees, and I couldn't find the other. And the ones that were recommended that you sent to us in our packet were amazing. They were some states, some charges were lower, some were as much as using the 21-22 rate fees were about 33 to 34% higher. They kind of jumped all over the place, what it looked like to me. But John, do you have some insight whether we ought to adopt those? Because the budget cycle's just coming up.
Yes, and really the reason I felt like, I'm going to unmute. There we go. Just want to be sure Sean can hear me. The reason I brought this before the board is, as you pointed out, part of the scope of work related to our water and wastewater master plans were the analysis of our current SDCs, and what they've done is they've looked at our list of capital improvement projects and the things that we've listed that we need to do in the next 20 years. They applied this consultant has applied the two types of funding that is possible from SDCs, reimbursement funding and improvement funding. They have applied those as part of their analysis. And basically what we have here is a recalibration of our SDC charges. This is their recommended SDC schedule based on their analysis. And a couple of things I wanted to mention, and I didn't realize this at the time, but in order to adopt these, the law says that we have to do a 90-day public notice before any action is taken on any adoption of SDC schedules or methodologies. We have to make the SDC methodology available 60 days before the board takes action. And then we have the hearing, which is could be a budget meeting, could be a board business meeting, based on my understanding. We have the hearing to where we have to adopt, if we want to adopt, and if we want to implement this SDC numbers here, we have to adopt not only the methodology, but we also have to adopt the schedules themselves. And the reason I'm bringing this to the board is we paid a significant amount of money for this consultant to do this analysis and to calibrate these SDCs, but we have not adopted them yet. And unfortunately, it sounds like this would be the ideal thing to adopt at a budget meeting, but if we got to do a 90-day notice, we're not going to be able to do that at a budget meeting. We're not going to be able to do that before the end of the next fiscal year. We'll have to adopt these after we jump through the hoops and waited the amount of time for the public notice and stuff. We'll have to do this during a board meeting sometime after the start of the 23-24 fiscal year, which is not a problem. That's allowed. But the question is, you know, we've never actually we've had the water one for over a year, I think, but we've never followed through and adopted anything on it. The question for the board is do we wish to adopt these? And if so, I think we probably need to get the clock started on that 90-day public notice so that we can get these adopted at the earliest possible time. Keep in mind, we paid for this analysis, and it would be a shame to not take advantage of that investment.
Okay, I had one comment right off the bat. I understand your argument, and I tend to agree with you. I didn't realize we had such a process, a long process to do it, because normally every year, you know, we change things 1 or 2% and didn't call it good, and depending on the situation. So these are, like I mentioned earlier, there's some radical changes, some good, some bad, depending on your point of view.
Well, and I want to point out too that most of the radical change occurs at the water meter sizes that we'll never use. 3-inch, 4-inch, 6-inch.
I noticed.
And so, you know, even though we have typically in our rate structure identified what our SDCs is for those large size meters, this consultant recommends we don't do that. This consultant believes that should be done on a per instance basis, because there's factors you have to consider. You got to consider the size of water meter, the type of water meter. You've got to consider what type of business it is, because these values are based off of these equivalents, which are largely based on how much we think the average household will use for water on a daily basis. How much will the average household or business use for wastewater? And the problem is once you get into these upper meter sizes, that equivalent basis may not apply very well. So what the consultant recommends is that we only actually list our SDC rate structure out to the 2-inch size, but we don't list anything beyond that. Instead, we basically make a note that meter sizes over 2 inches should be charged based on the type of meter and its capacity relative to 20 gallons per minute, which is one of these equivalent units that they've come up with. So I also want to mention that, you know, this is an exercise we do rarely. You know, we do this when? Once every 10, once every 20 years.
When we do master plans.
When we do master plans.
Years.
So we still need a way to adjust these SDCs for inflation and economic indices year to year. The way we're doing it now is completely legitimate, you know, so we will still have yearly adjustments. But the question is do we want to start with these calibrated values as our baseline for the next 20 years?
Are we pretty close as far as what we're doing now to what they've recommended?
Some are.
Some are actually lower in this chart.
Some of them will be lower.
Yeah.
The most commonly used ones are lower.
On this.
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to make a suggestion. Anytime you're talking about any kind of rates, people's ears perk up. They're going. Your basic argument, I think, needs to be put in writing. We just paid a lot of money for consultants through our master plan, specific consultants, a subcontractor, just to look at these rates. We paid X amount of dollars or whatever, you know, if you even want to mention that, to get their professional opinion, you know, something short, sweet. And then the proposed new rates alongside what we charge right now. So they understand and add a percentage. So if it's a negative, fine. I mean, you know, people are going to like that. If it's a positive, they're going to gripe about it. You can't help it. You raise any kind of rate, you're going to get a negative comment here and there. But it's only fair that to explain it from a consultant's or an expert's opinion and then compare them. And I would think something like that needs to go out in a mailing so that every customer gets it, plus on our website, and notify the meetings and hearings that we're obligated to do to change these.
Okay. Isn't that part of the 90-day process, though? I mean, if we decide to adopt these, that 90-day process starts and public notice and discussion and
right now,
input is in. And so if we adopt these now, we will go through that process in the next 90 days.
My point is,
so we will get public input and we will have an opportunity to make any adjustments that we want to make based on that.
Well, my point is that normally we only have to post it in the newspaper or whatever and then go to, you know, have our public meetings. I think we need to go an extra step to a mailing. That's my point. Just an extra step because they can look at something on paper.
What's involved in the notice that goes out as part of the 90-day process?
Well, I think the requirement is we just have to we have to post the notice. What our consultant told me, using all the methods we typically do with the addition of our website, if we don't currently put public notices on our website, we should do that in this case. They said that there is a law that requires us to maintain an interested persons list when it comes to this stuff. That's usually contractors, property developers, the kind of people that pay SDCs frequently, as opposed to just, you know, a single person building a home that just pays it maybe once. You know, we are supposed to take extra measures to reach out to those people we define as interested persons. It's not defined as the general public. It's defined more as the people that develop property and pay these SDCs more frequently and routinely, is my understanding.
I think the requirements of the process provide for exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
So for the new construction and stuff, shouldn't this be posted? I mean, wouldn't that go to them also? I mean, what do they do to come new construction?
They usually just call and ask for applications usually.
And could be included in the application? Or would that,
well, we'll definitely include probably the rates for sure. The question is it depends on the timing, because this is only a 90-day
right.
start-to-finish cycle. So,
okay.
And I will say that this SDC thing is confusing, and it's complicated, and there's a lot of laws on it. And I'm by no means an expert, and I just want to mention that to the board right now. If I was an expert in this, I would have already known about the 90-day public notice and the other things, and I would have already forced the board to make a decision about the water one before now, probably. So, it's possible, too, that we could even, do some additional consulting, or we could have some additional conversations with our consultant. But in terms of the notice, I think that with the addition of our website and perhaps targeting these groups that are defined as interested people or interested parties, I think we've done everything we're legally required to do in terms of the notice.
And on the fact that this is not arbitrary, what we have in front of us is not somebody's guesstimate. This is the result of an in-depth study based on the master plans that we have completed.
It's very true.
I see no reason not to accept it.
All right, Sean, do you have a comment?
I'm quieting my mic.
Hey, dude, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so a couple of things. One, I'm generally in support of moving forward with this and starting the 90-day process. My one caveat, John, would be that I would just want to have you confirm that you're okay with the dwell/meter equivalent column actually being accurate multiples of that 5/8 by 3/4 inch line on the water side and on the sewer side.
Thank you. Kathy, do you have any comments?
No, I think that we're ready to start the 90-day process and move forward.
Okay. At this point, I'd accept the motion.
I'll move that we adopt the SDC methodology and schedule that has been proposed to the board.
You can't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can't do that until after 90 days.
Okay. So that we move forward with the proposed SDC methodology and
notices.
I'll second.
However
that needs to be moved.
We have a motion. I'm not sure how to.
That we move forward with the SDC methodology and proposals that have been made, that have been put before us.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of Ann's motion, please signify by saying aye and
aye.
Raise your hand.
Aye.
Can you hear us, Sean?
Well, he can now. I think you and I were both muted there, Tom.
Sean, did you hear Ann's motion?
You're still muted, Tom.
Sean, did you hear Ann's motion?
Still muted,
Tom.
Sure, my comment.
Go ahead, you're unmuted.
One more time, please. Did you hear Ann's motion?
I have not heard anything since I talked last.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Sean, I moved that we move forward with the methodology
and proposals
that as it has with the SDC methodology and proposal as it's been presented to us.
Basically, we're Starting the 90-day clock.
Starting the 90-day clock.
Okay.
Kathy made a second. So I'm going to ask, if there was no further discussion, I'm going to move forward with a vote.
I thought I had one thing going to ask. No, I don't remember, so I guess not.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of Ann's motion, Kathy's second, signify by stating aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We have a unanimous vote, so the 90-day clock is started, and we shall move forward.
Helps paper.
Sean's got his hand up.
Okay, just checking. All right.
John, do you have like background detail from this analysis that you can send out? Is there any sort of detail that we can read through as to how and why they arrived at these numbers?
Well, we certainly do on the water side. We are still waiting for the methodology as part of the analysis for the wastewater side. We have the nuts and bolts of it already in this schedule of fees. But what has not been provided to me yet, and I've been told it's not far off, is the supporting document that this is based on. It's the methodology, the explanation of the methodology. Which will be, you may recall that at the Water Master Plan, this study was about 25 pages thick. And we're expecting something similar on the wastewater side. I've got the most important piece, but I don't have the methodology report yet. So I can send out the water one to everybody, but I'm still waiting on this consultant to finish the methodology report on the wastewater side. It's supposed to come soon, and I'll send it to everybody as soon as I get it.
Thank you. Okay, let's move forward with item 8E, TLC line of credit. John?
Yeah, and I'd like Rochelle to chime in here as well, if in case I forget to say anything. So, we have what we assumed was a line of credit with TLC. It was for $500,000, and it was used for a project. And I'm trying to remember the what?
Airport lift station.
The airport lift station.
I thought it was a million.
Well, at any rate, this my understanding is that this was a $500,000 line of credit / loan that we used for the airport lift station construction. This line of credit / loan is just about paid off. We only owe $60,000 left, roughly. And we want to maintain that if we can, because we have plenty of other projects that we need funding for. This will not, you know, borrowing another $500,000 or maxing out this line of credit is not going to mean an increase in payment for us. Our payment will be the same, assuming the interest rate's the same and everything is unchanged. But I called today, Tom, because you and I talked about this. I called today assuming they would tell me that we have $440,000 of available credit, and they said that they show we have no available credit left on this account, which makes me wonder if this is truly a line of credit or not. It sounds almost more like a loan.
That's what I asked about that a couple months ago.
It sounds like a one-time line of credit.
Yeah.
It sounds like a one-time line of credit where we assumed we could just turn around.
That's ever how we understood it.
And max it out again and use that money for something else.
Yeah, it was an emergency, Kathy, when that pump station went down there by the airport. You may recall what a mess that was.
So I put this on the agenda before I reached out to them, and I'm still waiting to hear back. But I recommend that we table this until next month, because at this point, I don't know for sure if this was a line of credit or a loan or what it was. Because, you know, we need more funds for other projects, especially on the water side.
Just on the quick side.
Yeah. So it makes sense. And because it won't change our expenditures or our repayment.
What I think you're going to find is that interest rate's going to double.
Well, that's what we're worried, concerned about.
Lock onto this one.
If we could lock onto this interest rate that we currently have, we would earn more money in interest off this than we're currently paying in interest on this.
So you haven't been able to find
And we definitely need additional funds for more water projects. So
what is the interest rate on it now?
It's like 1.75.
Oh, nice.
I know.
And when we
keep that.
And when we get money that we have in our accounts, anything that we're not using as far as working capital right now goes into the local
government investment pool.
The local government investment pool. Which is, and they pay
and
how
we're
much?
We're gaining 3.75% on that.
But we may need that right away, that money right away for a water project that
so
Johns has in mind.
If it's not a line of credit, then once this is paid off, we got to start over again?
We might have to start over. And that's why I say let's table this until next month and we'll confirm what it is, because it could be different than what we all thought it was.
Right.
Okay, so, Sean has a question,
idea.
So let me... Go ahead, Sean.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Okay, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
You can't hear me? Okay. So I guess my one question would be, I would assume somewhere in the authority we have an authority that
documentation is what he's asking.
Somewhere. My computer's dead. I look.
Please repeat that, because I think Rochelle's going to have to answer that question, and now I muted myself. Sean, please repeat that, because Rochelle may have to answer that question, and she didn't hear. Paperwork. We ought to have paperwork.
Somewhere. We'll look.
We'll look for that, Sean. We'll look for that.
Okay, I think we should table this till next week.
Next month.
So let's go on to the last line item, guest questions and comments. Do we have it? Do we have anything? And there's no one sitting out here in the wings that I can see. So we'll move on to item 10, Chair Director Comments. Kathy, do you have anything?
Nope, not today.
Cameron?
I do. The RuPaul letter went out to everybody. Any comments come back on any of it? Or is that more specific?
Oh yes, I've gotten several calls about it, and all the calls that I have received, either on the initial letter or the follow-up letter, not surprisingly, have all been people not necessarily interested in our pipeline, but interested in what's going to happen to the road.
Yep.
So, we have gotten some feedback on that for sure. But the letter did go out. The meeting is on scheduled, and I'm expecting a pretty strong turnout at that meeting.
Yeah,
And do you have a comment?
Oh, I'm still.
Go ahead.
You guys are going to be taking a first aid class. I don't know what your opinion is of having an AED for the office.
We already do.
We do? Okay.
And that will be part of the training.
Okay. Good for us. I'm good. And good job on the paperwork that Tom, that you performed, that we didn't do anything with, but your questions, that'll help. Thank you for your time.
That was just a kind of a working sheet. And did you have anything?
I don't. Thank you.
Sean, do you have any comments? Okay. Hearing none. It is now 7:15 exactly. I declare this meeting of the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.